This week's shiur is sponsored by Debbie Sondheim, in memory of our wonderful, unique husband, who we all remember as such, Fred Distenfeld, who I assume this isn't the most important part, but he apparently always encouraged Debbie to come to my shiur. So we thank, it's his fifth yard site, and we thank Debbie not just for the sponsorship, but obviously for her active participation in the shiur, which I think everybody recognizes makes it better. So thank you for that. Okay, I've been trying my best, because I'm afraid of Josh, to stick to your schedule in terms of mitzvahs from the parsha. But I came across something this week, which is my parsha Shavua. So you could hold it for next week, but it's less related to the parsha, and it's more just an idea that certainly we've never discussed, and I never discussed. And it turns out that it's pretty broadly discussed. And I don't know how this is something that has sort of never come up. I think it doesn't come up because for Jews like us, we don't like to discuss it. So I say in advance, I think most people won't really like my perspective on this, but that's okay. Everybody can disagree with my perspective. I want to talk about, it turns out that on the pasuk of Velo Tatur Acharei Levavchem Acharei Nechem, which is at the end of Parsha Shlach, there's a drasha wholly unrelated to tzitzis. There's a drasha in the Sifrei. It comes up later on in the Mishnah. I mean, these are serious sources about not just the prohibition and the problem of looking at things. Okay, what's called the Isser Histaklos for, you know, mostly for men related to women. There's also a restriction on, we'll call it intellectual inquiry. It could very well be that there's a book out there. It could be that there's a book out there that it's usher to read under the pasuk of Velo Tatur Acharei Levavchem Acharei Nechem. Now we think, again, I think our instinct is, because we like to celebrate how open we are and how modern we are, that there's no book that I can't read because I know the truth. And in the end, you know, if I challenge myself, here's what I think people think. How do I really know that I believe in God? Let me read a book by a kofer that tries to convince me, you know, that there is no God or that there's multiple gods. And when I'm able to refute those arguments, it will strengthen my emuna. What if it turns out that that's not just a bad idea, but it's actually us? Okay, that's the topic for today. And again, we may be moving towards, it turns out, by the way, so I stumbled onto this for something else I was working on. And it turns out not only is this an interesting discussion, but in the earliest versions, in the first, maybe people remember this, in 1989, in the first volume of the Torah Umada Journal, Rabbi Parnas, Zichrono Livracha, wrote a piece basically saying, you know, it's also to read Kfira, it's also to think about it, et cetera, et cetera. And in volume two, Professor Berger and another author wrote a response to it. So it turns out this has been discussed in intellectual circles, but we'll try to stick to halachic circles today because it's supposed to be a shiur. Here we go. Let's start with something related but separate. The Sefer HaChinuch, in his introduction to his Sefer HaMitzvos, says, you know, he categorizes mitzvos. And there are mitzvos that are bound by time, and there are mitzvos that are conditional. He says there are six and only six mitzvos that he calls mitzvot tumidiyot. Now, the fact that a mitzvah is 24/7, I guess, doesn't make it more important. But certainly if we were looking to define sort of a core values of being an observant Jew, you'd think that mitzvahs that are all day, every day, make up that core. And I think there's a lot to be said for that. So here's the list. The Sefer HaChinuch, source number one, says all mitzvahs are tied to certain things. Chutz mishisha mitzvot mehen shechiyuvan timidi. Except for six mitzvahs, which we could fulfill at any time on any day, including now. And in case you didn't understand what that meant, he says, "Lo yipasek me'al ha'adam afilu rega b'chol yamav." There is not a second in our lives in which these mitzvahs are not incumbent on us to the extent that we could be yotzei them now. The Elohein. Here's the list. 5 mitzvot aseh and 1 mitzvot lo taseh. Aleph, lahamin b'Hashem. Okay, that's easy. You're supposed to believe in God. If we believe in God right now, we get a mitzvah saseh. Bet, shelo lahamin zulato. Not to believe in anything other than God. Okay, it's pretty closely related. So is number 3. 3 liyachado, meaning God is not just one, he's unique. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad doesn't mean that there's one God. It means, by definition, there can only be one God. That's liyachado. Dalit, liyahava oto, to love him. Hey, liyira oto, to fear him. Again, how a person, I think it's possible, for another time we could discuss, how is it possible in the same second to both love and fear God? Not for today. And now comes the one we want. Shelo latur achar machshevet halev uri'iyat ha'einayim. To not follow machshevet halev means thought. Lev might mean intellect. It certainly doesn't mean heart. Uri'iyat ha'einayim, that's simple. That's what you can see. That's a restriction on what we're allowed to look at. Okay, so that's what we want to discuss today. What is this prohibition that, according to the Chinuch, applies, 24/7, shelo latur achar machshevet halev uri'iyat ha'einayim? And just so everybody knows, since the whole world loves the Sefer HaChinuch, and no one ever picks on the Sefer HaChinuch, it's just interesting to note. Like, everybody respects the Rambam. But okay, here's the Rambam's list. And other people say, well, I don't know if the list is correct. It might be fewer, and there may be more. People don't want to be cholek on the Sefer HaChinuch. A, because he's anonymous, so nobody knows who he is. But people just love him because he's so warm and supportive. So just so you'll know, the Chaye Adam at the beginning of his Sefer quotes this list of 6. The Mishneh Berurah and the Bir Halacha and the first Siman in Shulchan Aruch quotes this list of 6. This list of 6 has become, important in and of itself. So let's figure out what number 6 on the list is. By the way, a fair question that someone could ask is, I understand Lo Tirtzach applies, 24/7. Lo Tivashel Gedi Bachalei Bimo applies 24/7. So you're right. It's a fair question. I think the answer is nobody thinks that right now we're being mekayim the mitzvah of Lo Tirtzach. It's true. Lamaisa, nobody in this shir right now, although some people have their cameras off, I assume even people with their cameras off are not killing anybody right now. On the other hand, it's hard to think that we're being mekayim the mitzvah of Lo Tirtzach. Similarly, it's a broad issue that we could discuss. When are you mekayim a Lo Taaseh? Right? So I guess in theory, you could come home at night, or here's a good one, tonight after Kiddush, somebody, put a pitcher of milk on the table, and everybody around the table says, we're now going to be mekayim the Lo Taaseh of Lo Tivashel Gedi Bachalei Mimo, because we're eating fleishiks, and we're not going to drink milk. Nobody thinks that's a good idea. It doesn't really happen, but presumably, in a moment where you're tempted to put butter on your steak, maybe at that moment you're mekayim the mitzvah Lo Taaseh of Lo Tivashel Gedi Bachalei Mimo. But it's, yes.
These are all mindsets.
I know the answer. I'm not saying it because I can't figure it out. You're right. These are not actions. These are, like you say, mindset, I think, an awareness, right? In this moment, I'm aware of the limitations that God places upon me. And hopefully that allows me to be mekayim the mitzvah of v'lo tatur acharei levavchem v'acharei nechem. Okay, but let's get to sources. So first, source number 2. The pasuk says, v'ayalachem letzitzit. Right? Now, in the simple reading, since I'm wearing tzitzis, and since I'm aware of God's being, therefore, I think that's probably how I've always read the pasuk. I think that's probably how most of us have read the pasuk. The continuation is that tzitzis is some kind of safeguard against my looking at and doing things that I shouldn't do. But the Sifrei does something interesting. I think the simple reading, Acharei Levavchem, Acharei Nechem, you know, we kind of put them together, right? After my intellect, after my eyes. The Sifrei says they're two different things. In source number three, the Sifrei, again, written by Tanaim, so they're like Mishnayos. V'lo totur acharei levavchem, zo minut. Minut broadly defined as heresy, right? It's like one level below being an apikoros, but it's more or less the same thing. V'acharei einechem, zo znut. Here you see the distinction clearly, right? Minut does not involve doing any averos. If you're a mechal Shabbos, you're not necessarily an apikoros, you're not necessarily a min. It's intellectual. It's all belief-based. So one is, if you follow your lave, let's say your intellect in my language, then you run the risk of becoming a min. You run the risk of becoming a heretic. Va'acharei einechem zoznut. I think that's the one that we know, right? If you look at inappropriate things, then that's the sort of the physical, or that runs the risk of the violation of something of sexual immorality. Now, a fair question is the Isser an Isser in and of itself? Or is it just the Geder, right? Znus is Usser. So I'm not allowed to look at things that will bring me to Znus, because that's kind of a Geder. If that's the Pshat, it's interesting. It would mean, and this comes up from time to time, it would mean that there is a deoraisa that's a geder for other deoraisas. Okay, that's the thing that Achronim discuss. Is that really true? Is every deoraisa significant in and of itself? Or can you have a deoraisa that exists just to prevent the violation of another deoraisa? Right? We're familiar with the fact that Chachamim do that all the time. So, for example, the most famous example, the Ran thinks that the Issa de'oraisa of Bal Yera'ehu, Bal Yimatzeh for Chametz, is a geder for the Issa de'oraisa of Achilas Chametz. Okay, that's an interesting discussion. But so the two possibilities, either don't do this because it might lead to something else, or don't do this because it's usur in and of itself, even if it doesn't lead to something else. Okay. Rashi is famous in source number four. Rashi on the pasuk says, "V'lo tatur acharei levavchem kimo tatur," from the word mitur haaretz. Rashi here, of course, is connecting the parsha of Tzitzis at the end of Parsha Shlach to the story at the beginning of Parsha Shlach, which is the story of the Meraglim. And if that wasn't apparent enough, he continues by saying, "Halei v'ha'einaim heim meraglim laguf." Right? They are spies. That's not an accidental word. In fact, I just saw the medrash that Rashi's quoting does not use the word meraglim. Rashi often changes the lashon of a medrash to make a point more sharply. Here he's making the point. Lo tatur acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem is related to what led to the sin of the meraglim. Okay, and then Rashi says, v'alei v'aynem hei meraglim laguf u'misarsirim lo et ha'averot. They kind of deliver the averot to the body, ha'ayin roeh, right? The eye sees, v'halev chomeid, and the heart or the intellect or whatever desires, v'haguf oset averot. And then inevitably that leads to the actual, you know, commission of an avera. So the Rashi's famous, and everything about the Rashi's great. The thing is, the whole idea of this being a limitation, you know, we like to think that God created a world and he doesn't want us to hide from the world. He wants us to engage in the world. And, you know, I think there's a lot of truth to that. Rashi here seems to be coming from a completely different perspective, which is, you know, be really, really careful all the time. Okay, but that's still just in the realm of a medrash, in the realm of Agadata. Now let's go to the Rambam. The Rambam counts in his Sefer HaMitzvot, in the Taryag Mitzvos, this prohibition that we're discussing. The Rambam says in source number five, Mitzvat lo ta'aseh, number Mem Zayin, v'hamitzvah ha-Mem Zayin, hi shehizhiranu, shelo latur acharei levavenu, pay attention now. We shouldn't follow. This is why I think it's our intellect. Ad shena'amin deyot sheheim hefech hadeyot shechiyavtanu haTorah. Says the Rambam, we are biblically prohibited from following our intellect in a way that reaches a conclusion that, let's say, I assume this is what the Rambam means, that one of the Yud Gimel Ikrei Amuna is not true. Okay, the Rambam says, again, I'm translating the way I understand it, and, you know, there may be other readings, but it seems to me the Rambam says, you're not allowed to pick up a book if the result might be, will be, most likely will be, that it's going to undermine your belief, you know, in the uniqueness of God, your belief in the fact that God communicates to us through prophets, your belief in the fact that God does not have a physical being. Any one of the foundational principles, if it would be undermined by, let's just say, a book or an article or a lecture or a YouTube video, it sounds like the Rambam is saying that that's an Isur Torah. Not that it's a bad idea, not that he advises against it, but it's flat out prohibited, like it's flat out prohibited to turn a light on Shabbos.
Except now, for that, except it's an individual by individual Isur. Meaning, really? Based on the way I'm hearing it, it sounds like if I know that I can withstand reading that kind of book without any problem, my intellect allows it, then I can read it. Somebody else can't.
Stay with me on that point. Okay. Remember what you just said, because, you know, I hate to brag, but I prepared. So in a few minutes, we'll come to something that I think will undermine what you just said. But I think you're right that it's a possible reading in this Rambam. Okay, although I don't know, let's just say from my own experience, I don't know how a person could be certain, but I accept what you're saying. Okay, but then the Rambam understands we have brains. And I think the Rambam must know that every religious person, I think this is true, every single religious person in the world at some point stopped to ask themselves, you know, how do I know that God exists? How do I know that these things are correct? And so it's an interesting line. The Rambam says, Aval nikatser machshavtenu. Nikatser, from the language of katsar. It feels like the Rambam is cutting us some slack. Yes, we think about these things from time to time, but the Rambam says we should try to limit it, right? It's almost like the Rambam said, you know, try not to eat too much basar b'chalav, right? That's not how it works in regular halacha, but nikatser machshavtenu v'nasim la givul. We should make a boundary for ourselves. Ta'amod etzlo, v'hu mitzvat ha-Torah v'azharotah. Right? We should allow the Torah to serve as a boundary in that we want to focus and pursue ideas within the Torah and not outside of it. And he says, v'hu amaro yitala, that's the pasuk. V'lo tatur acharei levavchem v'acharei inechem. That's our pasuk. So here's the Rambam, and let's acknowledge, this is the Rambam who wrote the Moreh Nevuchim. This is the Rambam who brags about reading Aristotle, who may think it's a really good idea for people to read Aristotle. He is certainly thought of as the most broad-minded Rishon, you know, in Judaism. And here he is saying what he's saying. So again, I accept the fact that maybe it changes from person to person and it'll be impossible and we're not going to try to, you know, draw a boundary ourselves because that's just a conversation that won't lead anywhere. You know, there's no bright line, but at least the idea that even people like us, worldly, you know, whatever you want to call us, modern Zionists, even we were limited intellectually in things we're allowed to pursue. Now, I'll obviously discuss it more, but let's do the second part of the Rambam. V'lashon Sifrei, he says, the one we read already in source number 3, V'lo tatur acharei levavchem zo minut, heresy, kinyan shneimar, motzani, okay, that's a pasuk in Kohelet. I'm not sure how that helps us. Second line in the middle, va'acharei einechem zoznut, kinyan shneimar, v'yom ha-shimshon la'aviv, otah kachli ki yishra be'enai. I assume the limud is be'enai. He says, you know, she is straight in my eyes, which of course in the story turns out to be not true. She was not straight. It means your eyes see what they want to see and they lead you astray. Rotseba amaro zoznut המשך אחר ההנאות והתאבות הגשמיות והתעסק המחשבה בהם תמיד. The Torah's warning against, you know, unbridled pursuit of pleasure and comfort and luxury in this world. Okay, but I think the second part in the Rambam is something we all know. I don't think it's a surprise to anybody that we have to limit our desire for pleasure. It's the first part that I want to focus on. The Rambam's flat-out prohibition on some type of intellectual pursuit. I think it's safest to just refer to it as some type of intellectual pursuit because that helps us avoid fighting about exactly what it is that the Rambam means. Okay? Now, something interesting, which might help us pursue this line of thinking further. The Rambam, it's one pasuk, it's true. Lo tatur acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem. But they're two completely different ideas. Right? One is physical and one is intellectual. And a lot of Achronim ask, wait, why does the Rambam put them in one mitzvah? They're really two different things. It's true, it's one pasuk. But even in the pasuk, v'lo taturu acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem, it sounds like two. The pasuk could have said, v'lo taturu acharei levavchem v'einechem. The second acharei is grammatically unnecessary, which might be why the smak, the Sefer Mitzvot Katan, in sources 6 and 7, has two different lotaseis. One, lo taturu acharei levavchem. Two, lo taturu acharei einechem. Just a little plug for the smak, so people will know, because he's not that famous anymore. The Sefer Mitzvot Katan, or Katzar, used to be, when I say used to, I mean like in the late 1200s when he lived in the time of the Baal HaTosos in France, it was one of the most popular Sfarim. The background is as follows. There's a Sefer called Smag, Sefer Mitzvot Gadol, which the Smag loved. But the Sefer Mitzvot Gadol is a really big Sefer. And the Smag thought it wasn't really accessible to regular people like us. So the Smak wrote a Sefer Mitzvot Katan, which is basically just the mitzvot that apply to everybody all the time, not all the time, but basically not Beis HaMikdash mitzvot, not mitzvot that apply to almost all people. And he wrote it in an accessible way, and he wrote it in 7 parts, and also he worked really hard to sell it or to give it out. He used to travel around. And many Jews used to learn the whole Sefer every week, one seventh of the Sefer every day. Okay? That's who the Smak was. Of course, I say all this because I can't remember his real name. It's like Yitzchak ben Yaakov. It's something pretty common. But it doesn't matter. He lived at the time of the Baal HaTosos in France. Okay, look at 6. What's mitzvah lo tase yud bet? Shelo latur achar halev, dichtiv lo tatur acharei levavchem v'dashur aboteinu, acharei levavchem zo minut. And he has a phrase which we'll come back to later. Shelo lishal, don't ask. Mala mala, mala mata, malifnim, mala achor. What's above us? What's below us? What came before the world? What will be after the world? V'chein ein lachshov she'ein Torah min hashamayim. You can't think, God forbid, the Torah didn't come from Shamayim. V'shelo lachshov shelo lamin b'divrei chachamim. He's expanding now. Don't think that we don't have to listen to chachamim. Okay, it's a whole list. That's the intellectual part. Mitzvah Lamed, he says, is a different mitzvah. Shelo lato achar ha'ayin, dichtiv acharei einechem, and zehu znut, second line, shelo yistakel binashim l'shem znut. Okay, you're not allowed to look at women for the purpose of committing an isser. Afal gav demapik yistaklut nashim mikra devinishmartem mikol davara. He says, wait, but isn't there another pasuk in the Torah that prohibits looking at women for purposes of immorality? So he says, no. Hahu, bottom line in 7, histaklut nashim shelo l'shem znut, rak shene'ene b'histakluta. Interesting. He says there's two prohibitions that fall into the category of histaklut. One is looking at women for the purpose of or with the hope of committing an isser. That's one prohibition. The other is, no, there's no thought of committing an isser. You're not allowed to look at women for pleasure. Okay, that's a side point. But the main point is, there are two separate mitzvahs in the smack. And the question Achronim discusses, why does the Rambam have them as one mitzvah when it's clear that they're two separate ideas and the smack has them as two mitzvahs? It strikes me that the smack thinks fundamentally differently than the Rambam in the following sense. The smack thinks that each one is a standalone prohibition. I'm not allowed to think about things that will turn me into a kofar. My instinct is for the smack, that's a prohibition that's not just don't read this because the result may be terrible for your religious belief. It's flat out, you're not allowed to read this. Now, it could be that the definition of what I can't read is, of course, defined by what serves as a threat to me. But for the smack, it's a standalone isser. For the Rambam, if he puts them both together, the Rambam thinks the Torah is prohibiting us from getting ourselves in a bad situation. That can happen intellectually. That can happen physically. But the Torah has a prohibition. Don't put yourself in a bad situation, right? The whole point of the Rambam, I think, if you put it together, is because if you put yourself in a bad situation, bad things can happen. But for the smack, I think it's a standalone isser. Even if bad things would not happen, it's still prohibited. Okay, I'll give you an example. I don't know if it's a good example, but I like it because it's me. Biblical criticism comes up in yeshiva. Everybody thinks they should read Bible critics at some point because that's how they'll determine that they really believe that God wrote the Torah. So first of all, newsflash. Bible critics are right that there are inconsistencies in the Torah. But you don't need to go to some course in Harvard for somebody to teach you that Chazal recognized that in the first Dibros, it says Zachar Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho, and the second, it says Shamar Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho. Everybody knows there are inconsistencies in the Torah. So years ago, when I lived in Teaneck, there was a guy who davened in the Sfarad Minyan who was a huge fan of James Kogel. Okay, James Kogel, I guess, the most famous, I don't know, called Bible critic. I think he's a Shomer Shabbos. I never met him, so I don't know anything about him. But apparently he's like a relatively religious person, but the stuff he writes is not acceptable. Maybe he writes it for people who aren't that religious. Anyway, this guy kept telling me, you got to read James Kogel. It's unbelievable. You got to read James Kogel. And I told him, I'm not bothered by this. Right? I have no doubt that the Torah was written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And every time I find an inconsistency, it deepens my belief that that's the case. And, I find deep meaning in the inconsistencies. But he wouldn't stop. So I went to the James Kogel website. He has like a fancy website. And incredibly enough, James Kogel, like the first paragraph basically says, if you believe that God wrote the Torah, stop reading now. Everything I write is for people who are bothered by these problems. So I stopped reading and I told the guy, James Kogel said, I can stop reading here. I don't need to read anything that he wrote. So I think it's an Isser D'Oraisa for a person like me to read something that's likely to raise issues for me that I don't have. Now, it may be different for somebody who has terrible issues and is bothered by all these things. Maybe it's different, but for me, it's prohibited. I heard a similar idea years ago when Slifkin's first book came out, and it had a lot to do with the age of the earth. And I assume it's fine. I can, Rav Asher Weiss was in Teaneck at the time, and I spoke to him about it. And I remember what he said. He said, if you're a guy in the mirror, and you're completely comfortable with the fact that the world is 5,782 years old, you can't read the book, and it would be wrong for Slifkin to go to the mirror and try to sell the book. But if you're a person in the world and you know science and you know all these proofs against it and you're really tortured by it, then for sure, reading the book would be good for you because you have these problems already. So I think to a certain extent, what the Rambam is saying, and certainly what the Smak is saying, and by the way, tons of other Rishonim, is that if the purpose of reading the book is going to undermine your belief, it means you have the belief already, then it's prohibited. But maybe there's a carve out for people who are struggling to read things that others of us wouldn't read because we're not struggling. Yes, Henry.
I heard the same thing from Rav Asher. But at the same time, I was from the word Moshe Shapiro Zal that came out with the ban on it. So how do you see that balance of banning, not banning, you know, and managing that dynamic?
So that's why I can't go there because I don't know the answer and it's just going to get us in trouble and waste a lot of our time. What I would say right now is there is unquestionably support for the idea that there is a book that we're not supposed to read. I don't know the name of the book. I don't know what it says, but I'm quite sure that the halacha is that there's a book that even modern Orthodox Jews are not allowed to read. Okay, let's go further and we'll come back. The Sefer HaChinuch, as always, is helpful in how he formulates this. Source number 8, says the Sefer HaChinuch, Inyan lav zeh, right, this prohibition, shenimnanu shaloni yached machshivotenu lachshov b'deyot shehen hefech hadat shehatorah b'nuya alav. Chinuch says it's prohibited liyached machshavtenu. Here's it's the idea we saw in the Rambam also, to focus on, right? Of course it happens to us. It happens to anybody who cares about God. It happens to anybody who cares about religion, that you ask yourself, you know, when we say etzba elokimi, so everybody says to themselves, wait, God can't have a finger. Okay, that's how it works. That happens to us. But that's different than, for example, here's a good example, Henry. I just thought of it. If B'nai Yeshurun wants to, okay, won't happen, but B'nai Yeshurun wants to bring in a scholar and the title of his Friday night talk is, you know, God does not exist. I think you can't go to that. Even if the purpose of going is so that afterwards you could raise your hand and prove him wrong, you know, that's the core of our beliefs. And I think the Rambam is saying, you know, that can't be done. Now, if he changed the title, you know, so that the goal of the presentation was to help you believe that there, of course, is one God, that'd be different. So to try to help your point, I don't think we're seeing anything that makes it wrong to discuss these issues. I think we're seeing things that make it wrong to read something or to have the conversation if one of the perspectives is to prove that the Ikrei Emunah are wrong. Okay? The way Professor Berger said it in his article, how could these things be completely prohibited? He said, like theodicy. Theodicy is probably the thing that undermines belief in God. My theory is certainly for people who go off the derech, God forbid, it's almost always because Tzadik Viralo and Rush of the Tovlo and the Holocaust and what have you. So said, how do you live in a world where you don't think about the Holocaust? Right? How do you live in a world where we don't think about destruction? We don't deal with these issues. Of course, we have to deal with these issues, even though they're dangerous. Okay, Ella, second line, bottom here in 8. If it comes to you to think about, you know, to question the existence of God and all these other things, yikatzer machshavto. Again, another interesting word. Yikatzer, you should limit machshavto bohem v'yishaneh lachshov b'darkei ha-torah ha-amatim v'atovim. And try to bring yourself to think in the proper way. U'kmokein, similarly, shelo yirdof ha-adam achar mare'enav. Okay, that's the part of his stock list which we're not focusing on, although it's a good line to read. U'bichlau ze shelo yirdof achar ta'avat ha-olam hazeh, ki acharitam ra'a uchtai bizeyon v'katzah. He says, you know, if you find your purpose in life being pleasure and enjoyment, probably you're in some kind of trouble. Okay, here it goes. Shorash mitzvah zon nigla. Says Bechinuch, I don't have to tell you much about the rationale for the mitzvah. Ki bazeh yishmor ha'adam mechato l'ashem kol yomav. This is how you protect yourself. Now, of course, you're all, if anybody's paying attention, they're thinking to themselves, yeah, but I don't want to be a Haredi. Right? He's saying this is a way, if you don't think about it, you won't be tempted, which I suppose is true. V'ha-mitzvah azot be'emet yisod gadol badat. It says it's not just one of them. It's a really important thing. Ki ha-machshavot ha-ra'ot avot ha-tumot v'ha-masim yaldehem. you only do isurim if you think these thoughts in your head. V'dabini utehe margula b'pumcha. Right? It should be a phrase that's caught in your head. Something we all know, that religion or religious observance goes in streaks, right? The better you are today, the more likely you're going to be good tomorrow. If you commit an avera today, it's hard tomorrow. Okay, so that's a practical reason why you want to stay away from this. Okay, now, we did the Rambam and the Yad HaChazakah, we did the Smak, we did the Chinuch. Now we come to the Rambam, I'm sorry, we did the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos. Now we come to the more expansive formulation of this prohibition in the Rambam and Hilchos Avodas Kochavim in the Yad HaChazakah. And
Eli,
yes, yes.
Do you think the Ramban did not read these types of things in preparation when he had his vikuchim, or the others when they had the vikuchim?
So you're right. There's a mission, right? Dama lahashiv la'apikores. I'll say this. I think you're probably right that the Ramban read all this stuff. I bet he read the New Testament in preparation, but I don't think he read the New Testament with an open mind. I think he knew the truth, and he read the New Testament to prepare to argue in favor of the belief in one God, you know, and the corruption of the one God idea by the Trinity. So I don't think that's what the Sefer HaChinuch is arguing against. It's not the Smak, not the Rambam. What they're saying is, and maybe your qualification is a fair one, you know. Okay, I'll grant you this, Jackie. If I'm invited to the Vatican to debate, you know, some apikores on these issues, I suppose I would read them for that purpose. So if you're looking, you know, if that's a heter you're looking for, first of all, you don't need it from me, but I think you're probably right. Okay, but, you know, I don't know how broadly that would apply. Now let's read the Rambam. And this is really what most people quote because it's unbelievable. First, the Rambam says as follows. Sfarim rabim chibru ovdei kochavim ba'avodata. Hayach ikar avodata uma ma'aseh u'mishpateh. So there's many books that are written about Avodah Zarah. Sivanu hakadosh baruch hu shalo likrot ba'otan asfarim klal. Says the Rambam, it's prohibited to read those books. So if you went to Barnes & Noble and there's a book called Avodah Zarah for Dummies, you can't read it. Yet the purpose of the book is to teach you how to do Avodah Zarah. V'lo neharher ba v'lo bidavar midvareha. And you can't think in those ways, no part of it. Now he's looking at idols. It's all asur. So here, I wanted to read this part only because it's the Rambam talking literally about books, which is where I think this comes down to. I suppose the Rambam would have mentioned websites also if he knew what the internet was. Okay, that's first. Now halacha gimel. This is really where the fight sharpens. Says the Rambam, V'chol ha'lavin ha'elu b'inyan echadhin. All the prohibitions relating to Avodah Zarah are all related in the following sense, that they're all about shelo yifna achar avodat kochavim. You're not allowed to turn to study, to be interested in Avodah Zarah. V'chol ha'nifna achareh b'derech shu oseh bo ma'aseh harei zeh lokeh. And if you actually do it in a way that, you know, you practice Avodah Zarah or whatever, okay, that's makos, because that's a lav sheyesh bo ma'aseh. Now he says, that's easy, right? Nobody here is too offended by the fact that, you know, you can't practice Avodah Zarah or you can't read books about how to be an Oved Avodah Zarah. But now he says, v'lo avodat kochavim bilvad hu she'asur lahafnot acharei b'machshava. It's not just Avodah Zarah. Ela kol machshava shehu goreim lo la'adam la'akor ikar me'ikarei ha'torah. Any thought that would cause us to question or to uproot one of the foundational principles. Now, I'm not sure, but I assume the Rambam means his own 13 foundational principles. Muzharim anu shalola ha'aloto alibeinu v'lo nasiach da'atenu l'kach. Right? So basically, a group discussion promoted by whoever of, let's get together and discuss whether we believe in divine providence. I mean, the Rambam thinks that's usur. Now, that's different than saying you can't have a conversation about divine providence. But my sense is, because you can't avoid it, right, with thoughtful people. But my sense is, the goal of the conversation is supposed to be to support divine providence. I will have an open conversation, but we want to get the end result of the conversation that we believe in it. Now, here's the point that Lenny mentioned before, which the Rambam is now going to blow out of the water. He says, "Mipnei sheda'ato shel adam kitzara." He says, human intellect is limited. V'lo kol hadayot yicholim lahasig ha'amet al buryo. And not everybody is capable of reaching the truth, you know, in a straightforward way. V'imimshach kol adam achar machshivot libo. And if everybody just follows their random thoughts, nimtza machrivet ha'olam lefi kotzer da'ato. How does that work? Ketza. Pa'amim yatur achar avodat kochavim. Sometimes you'll go visit a church because you're interested in how it works. U'pa'amim yachshov bi'ichud ha'borei shemahu shema'ena. Right? Or you read a book. Does God exist? Or you might ask yourself the following questions. Mala mala. This, we saw this string site before in the smack. We'll see it again. It's a quote from a mission in Chagiga. Right? What's above the world? Malamat, what's below the world? Malifnim, what came before the world was created? Malachar, what happens when the world ends? All questions that I think all of us have asked. The Rambam doesn't say it's usher to ask the question. The Rambam says it's usher to pursue the wrong answer. Upa'amim binivuah. Shema hi emet, shema hi eina. Right? Maybe prophecy works, maybe it doesn't. Upa'amim batorah. Shema hi minashamayim, shema eina. Right? I think, again, these are all questions that I think any thoughtful, believing, observant Jew has asked in his life. The Rambam, and it's strange, the Rambam is walking a fine line. He's not prohibited asking the questions. He's prohibited pursuing them as if they're open-ended. Ve'eino yodeh hamidot sheyadon bahen ad sheyedah ha'emet al buryo. Says the Rambam, human beings have limited intellect. So Lenny, they think that this won't affect them. But how do you know? The Rambam knows full well that no one has a philosophic proof to prove the existence of God. It's a question of belief. So the Rambam is saying you have to recognize that these things are going to put doubts in your mind that may not have existed before. And you're making a mistake, he says, if you believe that you're smart enough to overcome all of them. Then in the end, you become a heretic, etc., etc. Okay. So here we have the most narrow-minded Rambam that we're ever going to come across. But we have to take it seriously. And a lot of people do. And maybe when Henry said before, Rav Asher Weiss thought it was a good idea for people who have these doubts, and somebody else banned the book. Right? So a narrow reading of this Rambam might lead you to ban a book. It might. But again, you have to put it in context. And this is what Professor Berger does in his article. And he says,
I apologize. Just a correction. He didn't say it was a good idea. He said he wouldn't stop or advertise.
Okay. I remember it slightly different than you, but what's the difference? The fact of the matter is, how do you put this in context? Right? How do you put this in context of the person who wrote the Morin Avuchim? The person, we could quote a whole lot of things. So the simple thing to say is, well, the Rambam really was that smart. He didn't need this prohibition. But that seems dishonest to me. And there needs to be explanations, and there are. The first thing is to realize that it's not just the Rambam and it's not just Rishonim. Here's the Mishnah in Chagiga. Ein dorshim ba'arayot bishlosha. Right, three people together should not study prohibitions of sexual immorality because the third person will think something. Yeah, it doesn't matter. V'lo b'ma'aseh b'reishit b'shnayim. Two people should not study creation of the world. Again, these are metaphysical issues that can lead to questions about, the creation of the world and God and things like that. V'lo b'merkava, right, what's called ma'aseh merkava in Yechezkel, right, visions of heaven, b'yachid. Ella im kein haya chacham umevin midato. Okay, there's a carve out. Maybe this is Lenny's carve out, right? You're a chacham and you understand these things yourself, so then you can learn them. But now comes the other thing. Kala mistakel, and this is what the Rambam more or less quoted. Kala mistakel ba'arba advarim, ra'uy lo ki'ilu lo ba la'olam. Anybody who pursues four avenues of study, it's as if, or better maybe, that he was never created. What are they? The same things we saw before. Malamala, malamata, malifnim, malachar. Again, questions that I thought of at a pretty early age. I remember I asked my mother, what's outside of the world? Hey, she gave me a kiss on the forehead. Apparently she doesn't know what's outside of the world. But these are questions the Mishnah says are asur, and these are questions that we all asked. So the Rambam would say, and we saw it in the Chinuch also, you should try to limit your focus on it. But we'll come back to that in a second. Now, the end of the Mishnah says, I don't know if it's connected or not, just to finish. V'chol shelo chas al kvod kono, ra'uy lo shelo ba la'olam. If you're disrespectful to God, which I suppose is implying in this Mishnah, these questions are disrespectful of God, then you're better off not being created. Okay, so somehow, you know, these questions are supposed to be avoided, and they are seen in some form as being disrespectful of God. Now, let's contrast the Rambam that we read that nobody likes with the Rambam that everybody likes. Source 11. Here's the Rambam Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. I saw this in Nechama Leibowitz. It's just interesting that she doesn't write about things like this. She says these two Rambams are inconsistent. Here's the Rambam says as follows. Hakel ha-nichbad v'hanara hu mitzaveh la'ahavo u'lira'oto. God wants us to both fear him and love him. Okay, for the various psukim. Halacha bet. The Rambam says, v'heyachi ha-derech la'ahavato v'yirato. How does one come to love God and to fear God? When a person goes out into the world and looks at God's creations, and they're so wonderful, and maybe this includes how God created the world, how God created human beings, nature, all these things, and he sees, you know, apparently, if you study biology, you're overwhelmed by God's greatness, how he created a human being that's so complicated and, you know, it needs infinite understanding. Now he falls in love with God. Okay, and he wants to come close to God. And then the reverse, when he looks at all these things and he realizes how great God is, he recoils. How could I love this God? How could I come close to this God when this God is so great? He's infinite. He's omniscient. He's omni everything. Okay? What's going on here? Here the Rambam seems to be urging us to get out in the world. Right? This is, I would say, as opposed to the Rambam Hilchos Avodah Zarah, which we'll call, just because we could talk this way, we're in our little club, you know, it's like a Haredi Rambam. Now we have the modern Orthodox Rambam. Get out in the world. Engage with the world, study nature, study science, study metaphysics, study philosophy, and you'll encounter God, and you'll come to love God. So which one is it? So I think it was Nechama Leibowitz who suggested this, but we would all say the same thing. Here in the Rambam, what's the purpose of doing all this? The purpose is mitzvah la'ahava uliyira'oto. The purpose is to love God and to fear him. I think the answer is, if your purpose, if your engagement in the world, if your open-mindedness is for the purpose of deepening your love of God and creating an overwhelming awe of him, not only doesn't the Rambam think that's usur, he thinks that's wonderful. Maybe that's a mitzvah. On the other hand, the Rambam Hilchos Avodah Zarah says, if you go into it with an open mind, right? If you say to yourself, okay, I'm going to pursue, you know, philosophy. I'm going to read a bunch of books. If I like the arguments in favor of God, I'll believe in God. If I don't, I'll reject God, God forbid. Then it's flat out prohibited, right? It's true. We prejudge the conclusion. We don't think it's an open conversation. And here I think we sometimes make a mistake. You know, the open-mindedness that all of us love and that all of us appreciate has to stop at a certain point. A conversation about whether God exists, I think the Rambam thinks, again, the Rambam, incredibly open-minded, thinks that's prohibited. A conversation that touches on those issues with the understanding that the end result of the conversation, we would like to be that there is one God. We'd like to have a conversation about inconsistencies in the Torah with the understanding that the conclusion is there is one God. Those things are not just natural to us. In a certain context, the Rambam thinks they're praiseworthy. They're wonderful things to do. But at the same time, the Rambam says it's not an open conversation. And to the extent that you go into it with an open mind, you're making a terrible mistake and perhaps you're violating something in the Torah. So again, the question that people asked at the beginning, I can't answer, which is how do you draw the line? No idea how you draw the line. And maybe even, I would agree with Lenny, maybe it depends. Maybe there really was, the Rambam's smarter than any of us. He knew more than any of us. Maybe that allowed him a latitude that we can't allow ourselves. It's hard to know. And I don't want to go there because it's well beyond my pay grade. But the fundamental point that there are issues and there are books, not just that it's probably best not to read, but that it's usher to read. Again, for argument's sake, how to understand the Trinity. I assume that's prohibited. Now, okay, the question is, Jackie said before, well, what if you, by the way, I wouldn't think Jackie would have been taking that side in the debate. But okay, obviously we're talking about not Jackie Feigenbaum, the other Jackie. In fact, we have to be careful of these things. So again, maybe as Jackie Schlanger said, maybe if you go in a debate, some Christian and you're the Ramban, so you got to read all the stuff. Maybe there's a carve out for that. But I don't think anybody wants to do that in their lives, right? I don't think that we're out there chasing after, messianists to try to engage them in debate. At least I don't think so. But again, without a firm conclusion as to where to draw the line, I think there's no question that a line exists in halacha. We are open-minded up to a point. We pursue issues up to a point. And the unique thing is that even in halacha, this prohibition is written like the Rambam, the Chinuch had a word like nekatzer. The Rambam had another word to minimize. It's understood that you can't completely avoid these things because anybody who cares deeply about religion thinks about these issues. But the question is, how do you think about the issue? How do you present it? How do you promote it? And there, I think a line has to be drawn. Where that line is, I have no idea, but it's clear that that there needs to be a line. And that's probably something that we should be sensitive to. All right, Yashkoch to everybody. Thanks to Debbie. Everybody have a great Shabbos. And,